Healers here. We ready for this morning? Yeah? Awesome. Let's get into it. So, it's a new year, and with New Year's, we often hear things or statements like this. New year, new me. Who's heard that already this year? Yeah? New year, new me. And we often approach the start of the year with a lot of drive and a lot of resolve. We have this go-getter attitude, and we say things like, this year, things are going to be different. You know, this year, I'm going to make those changes. This year, I'm going to grow in this or be better at this. Or, you know, and we have a lot of drive. We're sensing, you know, we've been able to rest, potentially, over the summer, at least, like, a couple of days during Christmas time and New Year's. And we approach the new year with this go-getter attitude, this drive, and this resolve. But this morning and this year, I've been asking a question, and I want to ask it again this morning and for us to have a conversation around this. And it's this: where does waiting fit into that? Where does waiting fit into that? Now, I say that because waiting is something that we aren't overly passionate about. In fact, we avoid it. Life has been set up to be express. Life has been set up to be express. I mean, we have express lanes. We have express ways. You know, we've got even checkouts where you don't even have to talk to people and you can, like, purchase your groceries as fast as you possibly can if the machine doesn't break down on you. But we're always looking for opportunities to make things faster, to get through things quicker, and to push through. In fact, this week I was talking to Stacy, and we were having a conversation, and this came into the conversation, and it caught my attention because what she was saying and where our conversation ended up going was very relevant to this morning. And so Stacy and I, we were talking, and And she brought up an example of an advertisement that she had heard about from Amazon. And so who's familiar with Amazon Prime? Yeah, Amazon Prime. So it's something you can subscribe to. It's like $10 US a month. And New Zealand doesn't get really all the benefits. But in America, like, if you're American, you get like a lot of benefits as a result of Amazon Prime. Something that they launched this year was that if you're living in certain parts of America, you can have whatever you order online delivered to you within an hour. That's pretty quick, you know, pretty quick. And one of the billboards that they used to advertise this was zero to happy in 1 hour. Zero to happy in 1 hour. Another one was, why wait when you can be happy? As if waiting is the antithesis of happiness. But it's something that is, like, a society, we've bought into this. We've gone, you know what, I don't like waiting. And there used to be a time where, you know, like, patience and that kind of thing was valued. But now we're literally promoting the opposite to patience as a way of getting more people to buy things off us. Or to, like, get into what we're a part of or whatever it is, you know. You don't have to wait anymore. Sign up now. You know, all of that kind of thing. I want to share a story of a journey that I've been on for a year now. And guess what? It has to do with waiting. At the beginning of last year, it was the new year. Of course, it was the new year. 2017. New year of 2017. Can you all imagine that? Okay? Go back that far in your minds. I know it's a blur for most of us. And at the beginning of last year, during the summer break, I was seeking God on direction around Sunday gatherings, this. And the amazing teams that serve at them, and for the amazing individuals that serve on those teams. So I was asking God, going, God, what do you, you know, what do you want to see change this year? What do you want to shift in us? What do you want to do through us? And all of those kind of things. And during that season of seeking God and asking him what it is that he would like to do, he gave me a verse. And the verse was Joshua chapter 3, verse 5. The entire chapter was very relevant to me last year, but verse 5 in particular stood out. And the reason I say that it was a verse from the Lord was because during that season, whether it will be like when I was reading the Bible or, you know, a devotional came into my inbox, in my email, or in conversation with somebody, you know, this verse just regularly was coming up time and time again. And so, you know, it's starting to pay attention because as you're asking God, what do you want to do? And then you hear a verse time and time again, you're like, okay, I'm guessing that this is it. So the verse was this. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves. For tomorrow, the Lord will do amazing things among you. Sounds pretty good, eh? Yeah? Who doesn't want to start a new year hearing that amazing things are going to happen? Yeah? That's a good promise. It's something to get excited about, and it was something that I was excited about. And so I went into a season of preparation, of when it talks about consecration, it's this idea of setting yourself apart for God. And so I was going through this season of preparing myself in that and setting myself apart in that and seeking God around what these amazing things were going to be. And I would be lying if I didn't admit that a part of me didn't desperately want those amazing things the very next day. Like when I clicked on to the fact that this verse was the verse that the Lord was like laboring and giving to me, I was just like, oh, okay. I wonder if I'm going to wake up tomorrow and everything's going to be different, you know? And I wasn't even sure what that different was, but there was this, you know, this thing in me that wanted to see things changed. The year continued, and I wasn't seeing those things that I expected, though. So, I mean, you know, after the first week, you're like, yeah, okay. Second week, yeah, okay. Third, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, and you're starting to get a little bit like, okay, what, like, do I need to remind you of the amazing things that you said were going to happen tomorrow? And so there was this frustration that started to build up in me as a result of that. And the season really started to drag out. By the middle of the year, though, things did start to change within the teams and the ministries. Things did start to change. People started leaving. That was not what I expected. And that was not what I felt God was saying when he said you were going to see amazing things happen among you. Things continued in this manner for a few months. And it didn't seem to matter what I did. Things continued to come undone. It was a tough season, and I remember time and time again asking God, what are you doing? How long am I going to have to wait? And during that time of seeking God and wondering, why is everything falling apart? When I was expecting teams to grow, I'm literally seeing them get smaller before me. When I was expecting to see lives changed, I was seeing lives walk away. You know, like, there was just so much, like, frustration going on and confusion in this season. But God, he continued to bring a verse to me, another one. And it was another verse 5, but it was in John 15 this time. And it says this, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. apart from me. You can do nothing. As this verse came across my path time and time again, I knew God was encouraging me and inviting me to stick it out with him. That he was the one who was going to do the amazing things, not me. And more than that, apart from him, I wasn't going to accomplish anything. His invitation still was, consecrate yourself, or remain in me. During that season, I eventually got to a place where I began to acknowledge that. But it moved from simply acknowledging it to something that I was also desiring more. That this is not my church, it's God's. And he promised to build it. And that's how I started to realize that is how I wanted it to look. And that's how I wanted it to feel. And that's how I wanted it to be. God's church. Letting him do a good thing. Letting him build it as he promised. So the year came to an end and we survived. Who felt that way at the end of 2017? Yeah? I made it. We all should get badges. 2017, I'm a survivor. It definitely didn't go the way that I expected it to. And 2018 is starting exactly the way that 2017 ended. With a bunch of very small teams made up of amazing, beautiful sons and daughters of God who want to see him do amazing things. And what I've learned is that waiting takes practice. Waiting takes practice. It's like an art. And I've realized that we are so anti-waiting as like a society, that I am so anti-waiting. Because to wait in the truest sense of the word is to acknowledge that I'm not in control. Waiting forces us to acknowledge that we are not in control. Otherwise, we wouldn't be waiting, would we? We would be off doing. We would be off accomplishing and changing things and, you know, making the difference that we want to see. And so I wanted to share a few thoughts and lessons that God has been teaching me as I have waited. These are just a few short thoughts. I am slowly learning how to wait on the Lord. I'm slowly learning how to wait on the Lord as he gently and carefully and lovingly shows me that he is good and he can be trusted and what he promised will happen. It's beginning to make more sense how a part of the fruit of the Spirit is patience. Yeah? That as someone becomes more like Jesus, they will be more patient. They will wait well on the Lord. And a part of that lesson has been this. There is a difference between waiting because we have to and waiting because we want to. Because we understand that we are not in control, but we wait on the one who is. We can wait well or wait badly. And I want to wait well in 2018. On this journey, I also learned that waiting alone is dangerous. We need community. when things started to come undone, it was very easy for voices to creep in, telling me that I'd failed and that I wasn't meant to be a part of this. But God last year began to teach me about his design and the importance of his community, the church. And because of that, I began to share my struggle with others. And I heard a very different voice. I heard words of life. And what I believe was the voice of God. Speaking to me, reminding me that I belonged. That I was loved. That he was in control and that he was building his church. That when my faith wavered, it was actually the faith of others that held me up and helped carry me along. Waiting alone is dangerous. We need community. It's real easy when things don't go the way you think they would to isolate yourself, to pull back. It's such a dangerous thing to do because you hear voices that aren't true. The thing with it too is that even if the things that the voices are saying are true, it is better to be heard within a loving community. Like, if to say, hey, maybe this isn't what you're meant to be doing, it's better to hear from somebody who loves you than from a voice in your head, yeah? Because you can journey that, and you can discuss that, and you can maybe even admit to that and go, okay, then what could I do? Waiting alone is dangerous. We need community. I also learned that my ready is not generally God's ready. My focus was on the amazing things, and what I have come to realize is that on this journey, his focus was me. That he was and is doing amazing things in me. Now, I still believe that God wants to do something amongst us as a community. He is always about that. He is living and he is active. And he is stirring something up amongst us and within us. And I'm excited about that. And I still believe that we're going to see things change within us as a community. But when our focus becomes the amazing things, as opposed to the amazing one, very quickly, we can become discouraged. It wasn't till this past week when I was looking at Joshua 3, verse 5 again, that I came across something. A whole year with a verse, and you can still learn something from it. I have done word studies on the word consecrate. I've done word studies on amazing. But for the first time this week, I looked into the word among. Because that's really what it was about. It was about amongst us, what God was going to do. The Hebrew word for among, you guys know I'm no good at pronouncing Hebrew words, so I'm not going to attempt this time, but feel free to look it up. It's like kehrab or something like that. The Hebrew word has two interchangeable meanings. It does mean in the midst of, and so it makes sense for it to be translated that way because God was promising to the nation of Israel that he was going to do amazing things in the midst of them. And he did that the next day by leading them into the promised land, into the promises that he had for them. He did it. But that word can also be used and translated as inwardly. It is actually one of the words that is used for heart in Hebrew, for thoughts and for feelings. And so when you read, when I read, Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you, there is still a promise that I'm holding out for, that we will see this community radically changed by the presence of God and his love. And that we will see people come to know Jesus because this world needs Jesus. But I also realize now that when God, or a part of what God was saying to me when he said amazing things among you, he was talking about this. And he has. And so this morning, I wanted to share my story, and I know that this isn't necessarily your traditional sermon. It doesn't have a whole lot of like high theological ideas. But then at the same time, it does. Because theology is always about the heart. The more we know God, sorry, back that up a little bit. God doesn't just want us to know about him through knowledge. He longs for us to know about him through experience. And so I would say that this has been a journey of theology, a theology of waiting. I didn't know there was such a thing. And so this morning, I just wanted to take the opportunity to testify that God has done amazing things. He has. Like, amongst us as a community. Like, we've seen this community grow. And I'm not just talking numerically, but like in love for one another and for love for and in love for the world that it's in. But I also am believing that that's going to continue and we're going to see things continue to shift and change. This morning I want to testify to the fact that God has done amazing things in me. That he has changed me. And I'm a little better at waiting. I'm a little more patient. If I could be so bold to say, maybe even a little more like Jesus. And that's what I want. As a community, I know that's what we want, to be more like Jesus. And so I'm going to stop speaking. And we now have the opportunity, just within our groups,